quite shortly, and welcome to the program, David.
Thank you, Cecil.
Man, this is a really good record. Now, I want to ask you that, in the beginning, it's self-titled. That, you know, that kind of reminds me of, like, you know, the Beatles, you know, after they had put out, like, what, about 7 albums, all of a sudden, let's put one just called The Beatles, you know, so...
Yeah.
What made you decide just, you know, just couldn't think of a title or just said, let's just make this one the definitive big release, or what was the
It was kind of all of those things in one. I couldn't think of a track off of the record that I wanted to commit for the whole title of the album. I felt like it would be misleading to call the album any one of the titles on the album. And having arrived at this point in my career, in my journey, I just felt like it was time because I've reached a high point. I think that it blows the previous two albums away, and it just was kind of a bold statement to say this album needs no title, but but the name of the artist. So I went for it.
Well, it's a great record. I've been spending time with it, and yeah, just looking over the folks you have helping you out on this one. I mean, of course, you've got your good friend Buddy Flett that you have been playing with for many years.
Oh yeah,
and you know everybody else, Dickie, Bruce McDonald, you know, Lil Buck is on a few cuts. So a great lineup, and like I said, just a nice collection of songs. Now, it's been a while. You don't put record. Is this just the third record, or
that's my third solo record
in about what 10 years? Huh?
Yeah.
So, of course, you know, just to go back, those of you who may not be familiar with David, David's originally from Shreveport, I guess.
Yes.
And, you know, a member of A-Train there for many years.
I've happily been adopted down here. And
You really have. And, you know, let me finish this statement. Yeah, of course, he played with A-Train and then has been with a member of Philae, and then, of course, now doing his own stuff and a member of Lil Band of Gold. But, yeah, talking about that, on your website, I was really taken with, at the end of your little bio, you basically put that you are currently living in Lafayette, which is the center of the universe.
Absolutely. It is the center of my universe, and it's, of course, the center of my family's universe. And this is where we put our roots, and this is where I've been adopted. And I still get a real happy feeling driving into Shreveport.
Mm-hmm.
And as a younger musician in A-Train and coming down to play Grant Street, this was such an exotic, faraway land. People wearing berets and speaking French and dancing on the first song, no warm-up necessary, and all of that, it was very exotic and beautiful to us. And so a lot of people in Shreveport still feel that way about Lafayette, and now I've gone down there and joined mm-hmm. with those exotic peoples, and to be the go-between, it's a very nice place to be. The folks up in Shreveport, they want to get a little bit of that on them. They want some of that Lafayette mojo to rub off on them, and they want to know what goes on down here.
Yeah.
Which usually I tell them things that we can't really talk about, but yeah.
It goes on here.
It goes on.
But I just found it an interesting statement because, I mean, when I was growing up, I remember in the 70s, we used to sort of half-heartedly always referred to Mamou as the center of the universe, and that the traffic light in the center of town was the center of the center of the universe. So to hear someone else call, you know, Lafayette the center of the universe, and of course I've been here now more than 30 years, I mean, living in Lafayette, and so I've been here longer than any other place I've lived in Louisiana, so I, you know, it's very easy to call this place home, and I was amused by the just Lafayette being the center of the universe, which in many ways it is. I mean, it's a very special place. I mean, I think it's still under the radar. You know, I mean, of course, it's still under the radar to most places, but as soon as you kind of whiz through here, something kind of pulls everybody back, and everyone kind of I hear from, you know, Festival International just recently. I mean, the amount of musicians that come here and say this is really a special place. You know. It's recognized by anybody who goes through here.
It is, and it's nothing. I mean, you can say the food and the music and the people and everything, but it's something more sublime than that.
Mm, exactly.
That you just can't put your finger on. The streets in Shreveport are a lot prettier. There's a lot prettier routes to get from A to B in Shreveport without having to take Johnston and all that kind of stuff, you know. But still, there's something down here that just trumps everything.
I agree. Well, let's get to this new record. I don't know where to begin. I mean, I've been playing it for the past week or two, and what can I say? This is just it's a great effort. When did you record this? Over a long period of time? Yeah, that's what I understand. You started off and basically had to come up with more money.
I started in November of 2011. Uh-huh. And it was like a suicide mission, record 13 tracks. And we did, and we succeeded in recording 13 tracks, but I don't know if we really got the magic on all 13 of them. But Root Beer Baby was the first thing that we cut right after we got set up and plugged in, and we knew we were rolling. I ran out of money and had to go to Australia, with Little Band of Gold again, and had a bunch of Little Band of Gold stuff. So I ran out of money and had to get on to some other business at hand. And I just blinked, and it was November 2012. So I got the same cats, Little Buck, Ron Ove, Joe McMahon, Bruce McDonald, Mike Sipos, all the same Moose Lodgers, hunkered down at Dockside once again for a few more days, and this time we nailed it. And this time we had Tony Daigle, engineering. The first year, the first November of 2011, we had Corey Ritchie. They were both great, but this time we saw it on through.
All right. Well, let's listen. Let's start off on the first track on this album. It's called Blues How They Linger. You want to tell us a little bit about this before we get into it? A great song. I mean, a great opener.
Okay. The opener is not Blues How They Linger, the other one. That's a big old hurt.
Okay, but I want to get to Blues How They Linger. Okay, that wasn't the first. I'm thinking of that one because that's the first one I played, so I was assuming it was the first one on the album, but no, it's not.
So you want to play Blues How They Linger?
Yeah, let's get to that one,
All right.
I want to say anything about it, or just...
I think that it kind of tapped into that love of the classic old jazzy blues. I kind of felt like my inner Charles Brown was found and tapped, and it was a long process getting to that. But let's give it a listen.
All right.
Birds fly for the winter, south to where it's warm. Fasten down your windows, people, it's only a passing storm. Cold wind blew loving, gentle breeze, don't carry her away. But the blues, how they linger, and I think they're here to stay. Sunrise in the morning, darkness on the run. Nightfall comes calling when tired old day is done. Sad song on the radio, soft refrain, and soon it's it's gone. But the blues, how they linger. Oh, they linger on and on. A man, but it sure ran out of luck. Luck runs hot and cold, people, and past their rise and fall. But the blues, how they linger. Since she packed her bags and walked.
Wow, nice tone. The piano just goes out there for about 10 seconds at the end. Man, just fits perfectly like a glove. That is just one tight song, man.
That was out at Dockside, by the way. And, it was the first record I ever recorded of mine out there. And it was a huge difference because everybody could just hunker down and live there.
That's what I was going to ask. Everyone who tends to record at Dockside, I mean, from all of the pictures I've seen, it just looks like the most comfortable place. And everyone that has worked there just can't say enough about like it's just hanging out at your house or something, you know, or a friend's house that you just never want to leave, you know.
You don't have to go tracking your musicians down all over. Oh well, he went, you know, down because yeah. Nobody wants to leave there. You know, it's just a great hang.
That's true. Not like in the middle of the city or something where you know, where people could disappear, you know, willy nilly. So yeah, right. A great track. Who's playing guitar on that particular track there?
That is Joe McMahon. Joe was a guy that I met in Shreveport, mm-hmm. and I recruited him into the Mickey Honeycutt band, and then I went on to Nashville to play with Joel and ended up recruiting him into the Joel band to Nashville, and so he has stayed there and is one of those East Nashville musical pioneers, visionaries, whatever. He's been in East Nashville ever since and producing a lot of really interesting acts. He plays in a group called Luella and the Sun.
Oh, okay.
Watch out for them.
Okay. I certainly will. So the when is the new record coming out officially?
June 4th.
Okay.
My sister's birthday had a lucky ring to it.
Uh-huh.
We needed some time to get it to all of the stations and the reviewers and everything and have that proper full frontal attack.
Yeah, you're doing this a bit more, it seems to be a more concentrated effort this time on getting it out there. I don't know, maybe not, but I mean at least it sounds to me that you're putting out a bigger effort than you did with your other two releases.
We're trying, but, you know, like I said, I wanted you to be the first cat to play it on the radio.
When I read that in the paper, I said, well, you know, when you were talking about, well, you know, sometimes people get records before they're out and they kind of play them to death, which I'm quite guilty of. So when I saw the next line, well, I want want Cecil Doyle to be the first to say, well, maybe that was a typo. Maybe say, I don't want Cecil to be the first to play because he's going to play it to death. Because poor old Deej, he gave me a sample of his upcoming record a year ago, and the record's still not out. Here I am playing on a regular basis, but that's the way it goes. But no, I'm honored and thrilled that you wanted to slap it down here first on the airwaves. But
well, and the hometown is the hometown, you know, and you being the maestro of the radio and all that.
Well, I don't know about that, but we're gonna up it. I'm definitely glad to be spinning it here. And also I also noticed that it's on Rhonda Sue Records.
Yeah. Well, I had to come up with something, you know. might as well give a little nod to my sweetheart.
Might as well, and good move there. That always helps, you know. That definitely
you
helps.
Bet, you know, better than Haagen-Dazs. So.
There you go. Well, let's get to the opening track. That's a big old herd. That's a great opening number. Who helps you out on that one?
Let's see. Well, that's Joe McMahon and, of course, drums and bass. Mike Sipos on drums from New Orleans. Played on my last record as well. And Ron Oaf, a fellow Joel alumni, mm-hmm. Living in Nashville. Arkansas boy. Played with the Cate Brothers for 20 years or so. So that's the kind of the heart of the record right there, those two guys. And Dickie Landry plays, everybody plays such a crucial part in the record, you know. But that's Dickie doing all of the saxophones. And this was a song, by the way, that I came up with in the interim between the two major sessions. So I didn't have this song in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was serendipitous in that way because it gave the creative process a chance to kind of reboot and stew itself. And
when you heard it, did you automatically say, yeah, this should be the opener for the record? or
no, because it's not really up-tempo, you know? Mm-hmm. So I wrestled with that a little bit, but, you know, I could still wrestle with the sequence of the record.
I mean, yeah, I'm all about sequencing, so, you know. So, yeah.
What do you think?
Well, I think it's a great opener. I mean, you know.
I think it's compelling, and it kind of steps right up and says, okay, let me have your attention. I guess it's got a kind of a bawdry yeah, kind of a raucousness to it, even for a medium tempo.
There you go. Well, let's check it out. That's a big old herd, the opener to the new David Egan album, simply entitled David Egan.
I knew that I was in trouble when your big feet hit the floor. You ricocheted that bottle off the side of my head and broke the sliding glass door. And that's a big old hurt. And I can feel that hurting showing up deep in my heart. That really smarts. You're just treating me like dirt, and that's a big old hurt. I walked in on you and Freddy, and I knew that I was ruined. You gave me that stinking grin and kept right on what you were doing, and that's a big old hurt. I can feel that hurt showing up deep in my heart. You know, baby, that really smarts. You're just treating me like dirt, and that's a big old hurt. Mm-hmm. one of your doggone cigarettes. That's a big old hurt. And I can feel that hurt showing up deep in my heart. You know, baby, that really smart. You're just treating me like dirt. And that's a big old hurt. That's a big old hey.
Yeah, that's a big old hurt. I tell you what, all these songs that I'm listening to, when you put them on, when you put the headsets on, I'm telling you, those last notes just kind of
air going through Dickie's horn, you know,
and the piano just kind of ring the string just chiming there for the longest time. So yeah, fine recording, and as I was mentioning to you earlier, this record more than the others really has a bluesy feel. So hopefully, blues DJs around the country will latch on to this because it's just hot, man.
That is the throat that we are going for. You know, we're all out going for the blues stations and the blues reviewers, and hopefully get some blues gigs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think I was reading I read a review of this record, and was it an Offbeat that kind of mentioned that they thought this record or your style was more say Mose Allison than say Professor Longhair. I guess you know, when you get it written up in Offbeat, they're going to try to put a New Orleans spin on everything. But yeah, I hear a lot of Mose Allison in your vocals, and you know, just it you know, the whole
thing. Yeah, there's a local musician, we won't name names. I respect him a lot, but he heard my first record. I gave him one. I said, "What do you think?" He said, "Yeah, man, I dig it. I love Mose Allison."
So he's the same to
thanks a lot, you know. But it really, of course, you know, need I tell you, I ain't trying to be Mose Allison here. If I'm trying to be Charles Brown a little bit, yeah.
I hear that in it as well.
And that's all Mose Allison is trying to do. Mose Allison is trying to be Charles Brown, but Charles Brown puts it across a whole lot more elegantly.
Uh-huh.
And Mose Allison just kind of exaggerates that thing that Charles Brown does. Uh-huh. And everybody thinks, "Oh, wow, that's Mose Allison." Uh-huh. You know? But I think Mose Allison has a big debt to Charles Brown.
Oh, yeah, as so many do. And yeah, and Charles Brown, yeah, just totally one of the most unrecognized. I mean, his stature in the music business should be way up than what it is. I mean, he's well respected, but he should be, like, you know, totally a household name worldwide, you know.
Yeah, and you know, I just think of those film noir movies that you used to see on TV late at night, black and white, and there was a lone lounge pianist singing without a microphone. Everything sounds perfect.
Right.
You know, I just always, that always impressed me, you know, just one person, one instrument. Those are the guys who, if the entire infrastructure collapses, nothing works anymore, there's no electric, no water, the guy who can play you a song on an instrument with no bells and whistles, no smoke, no machines, no backing tracks, that's the guy that's going to get a sandwich.
That's true, man. It's something that I think a lot of the younger generation is missing out on, the fact that, yeah, we're getting so used to just hearing, you know, sort of these processed things that, yeah, just a good old musician with a can sit there with an instrument and just captivate a group of people is where it's,
yeah, that's amazing.
Where it's at, so.
Just or at least just a genuine organic music experience.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I was a kid, frat parties would always gravitate toward the piano, and then somebody could play Matilda and What I Say and that kind of stuff. And that's where frat parties would end up, around the piano.
Uh-huh.
Everybody singing and jamming and dancing and having fun around a piano.
Right, you know? Yeah. Not necessarily in a toga, dancing to Louie Louie, which is all part of it too.
But it's all part of it. But even that, well, you know, Otis Day was giving you a genuine organic experience.
For real. We got a phone call during that last song, and we had a listener that was asking about this new record and whether it will be available on vinyl.
Yes, it will. When we did the mastering, we went ahead and did that option. And I have not manufactured vinyl yet, but I will very shortly.
Yeah, it's getting away. That's the route so many people are taking. I mean, since, you know, it's becoming almost the dominant physical, format now.
That's what they say.
It's getting that way. I mean, you know.
I haven't really seen proof of that with my own eyes. I've seen vinyl on the shelves, but I haven't seen a lot of people buying it and playing it.
Yeah, people don't have turntables, but I'm still amazed at the amount of recordings that do come out on vinyl. I mean, you know, just locally speaking, she seems like every group that's putting on a record here locally is you know, going for that option, you know. And usually, like yourself, usually doing that second, you know, getting the the CD and the, you know, everything else, getting it up on whatever service that they download it from, you know, is that priority. But, you know, that always seems to be the second thing, because that whole vinyl thing is, you know, especially with younger people. I mean, I would have never thought that they would latch onto that one and be so passionate about it. I mean, you know, there's a big vinyl culture, underground culture here in Lafayette, you know.
Right on, and good on them, you know. That's great. I'm all for it. And yes, this will be available on vinyl.
All right. Let's get to another one from this new record. I want to play the track. I played this a couple of days ago, a song called Out of Mississippi. This one this one really rocks. And as I was mentioning to you earlier, Dickie's saxophone solo in this is just out there. I mean, it's just, you wouldn't expect that kind of solo in this sort of song, but it totally works.
It was a perfect opportunity to say, Dickie, just do what you do right here. Just go ahead and freak out, melt some faces, blow some minds. Because, you know, there's a – you might not pick up on it overtly, but – it's a conversation. The song is imploring this little Mississippi girl to get out and see that big crazy world out there and not just stay holed up in your little Mississippi town.
Uh-huh.
And there's a dialogue between Dickie's horn and this kind of country fried guitar playing. And the guitar is Mississippi, and of course, what is Dickie? Dickie's the big, crazy outside world that we're imploring this little girl to get out and see. So you might want to listen to it with that in mind.
That's what I love, man. When you come on, you come up with the best visuals for your songs. I mean, what was it in on your last album you had? Was it the one where you're talking about the part of the song where it's just a musical interlude where all of a sudden it just sort of breaks and you said, that's the part of the song where the girl slaps you, you know, and you kind of, so I love
hits
hearing
them with the frying pan.
Yeah. So when you know that going into the song, it sort of gives it a twofold meaning. So anyway, this is Out of Mississippi, again, from David Egan's brand new self-titled release.
One, two, three, four. Little bit later, hit the buffet. See you rolling up the side of the bar.
safe than tips that Jamaican won't carry you very far. It's a big old world out there for your baby child. It's a big old world just a waiting there to be found. You better get your butt out of Mississippi. Don't you marry any Mississippi boy when you come around. At the West Station, your mama was a pretty child bride. Wild Rabbit Supper at the Optimist Club, they'll come on handles on the side. There's a big old world out there for your pretty child. There's a big old world just a waiting there to be found. You better get your butt out of Mississippi.
One of my favorites off this record, How to Mississippi. We were talking about that. Yeah, you were mentioning tell everybody the story you were telling me about wanting to do L.A. Woman at one point in your
Talking to Bruce. Man, we ought to cover that L.A. Woman by the Doors.
Speaking of Ray Manzarek, just passed away yesterday.
Bless his heart.
Or day before yesterday.
But then this song arrived, and there was no need to cover L.A. Woman.
As soon as you said that, I hear the groove. I mean, that is just one classic groove.
This did come, the best thing I got out of being on the Naris Board of Governors was that I got to drive up to Memphis and back by myself several times, and that's where I work out a lot of ideas. Mm-hmm. And there's a little place in southern Mississippi. I forget the town, but it's called the Country Junction Truck Stop and Cafe. And there was a little waitress, and I would love to give her a copy of the CD if she's still there. I don't know, but she was just so nice and said, I didn't want to disturb you while you were talking on your cell phone, and and kept that coffee coming, and I really was too late for the buffet, and we just kind of had a little flirtation,
I tell you, I wrote to Memphis, man. That's a long drive where, I can imagine if you're writing a song or want to do or thinking of anything, there's a lot of room to think on that route.
Yeah, and I wrote The Outside on that route too, and I've worked out a lot of songs on that route, so thank you, Naris, for that.
Okay. Well, I tell you what. Let's hear The Outside. I haven't played. Have we played that? No, we haven't played that one yet. So, I do want to hit that one next. Yeah, The Outside. Tell us a little bit about that one.
I'll try to make it quick. But for 25 years, I would not let myself write a standard 12-bar blues. I felt like I've got to spread things out. I've got to expand on the genre of blues, and I've got to be creative and all this. And because of that mission, Buddy Flatt and I wrote a lot of good songs. But just a couple of years ago, I decided to exhale and go ahead and write some 12-bar blues. And so about 8 of them dropped out of me. And those were good songs, good to have in the repertoire. Nothing that's going to change the world or anything. But then on the heels of writing all those 12-bar blues came The Outside, which is blue, 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 but not a 12-bar blues, not any kind of form I've ever heard. Of course, there's nothing new anywhere, but it seemed totally a fresh template, all its own. And I feel like that song came because I allowed myself to clear the pipes and go ahead and have some fun, write some 12-bar blues, monkey chase the weasel type stuff, and go on and write those 12-bar blues. So I tell aspiring writers all the time, go ahead and write your not-so-great stuff and get it out of the way. Clear the pipes. Make way for the new inspirations to come in. I don't think that On the Outside would have happened had I not gone on and written about 8 12-bar blues.
Where I've always been, unlike my so-called friends, like a fool, I thought that I was in. Hopes all raised up to the brim. To all the little snickers and the greens, I was on the outside once again. I'm on the outside, child. troubled man, troubled man. Got a mind that's running wild, but I know right where I stand. I'm on the outside. I'm on the outside, child. Wise man said to look with thee, but that's where everything begins. I read some holy books from start to end, but something in my heart won't seem to mend. And it cuts right through me like a freezing wind. I'm on the outside, where I've always been. I'm on the outside. Oh Lord, I'm a troubled man, troubled man. Got a mind that's running wild, but I know right where I stay. I'm on the outside. I'm on the outside, child.
Every track, good to the last drop. David Egan here on the Medicine Ball Caravan. We're talking about his brand new self-titled album that will drop on, June 4th will be the official release date for the new album by David Egan. And I tell you why, yeah, it's such a great tune. And you've been working with a lot of young musicians lately. Tell us about how did you first hook up with Caleb Elliott? I saw you. Didn't you perform with him at Festival International or do something like
no,
that?
No, I did not.
Okay.
But I've just been kind of his adopted big brother here for the last couple of years. And just kind of critiquing and cheerleading and giving him a little bit of guidance about the big bad business world of things out there, you know. How does publishing work and all that kind of thing, you know. So just been a friend mostly, and Caleb was there through the entire process of making this record, just kind of being studio rat and gopher and assisting any way he could, and it was really, really great having him around. And so we did this song. We needed a couple of background singers, and Roddy Romero was there. Caleb was there. Perfect. Dance to the Blues with Me. Check out these guys on background vocals.
I got suspicion. I got no proof. I got a feeling you know how to move. I see you smiling and a tap in your feet. Snapping, your body sways, you sing along, now make no mistake, I ain't no fool, and I know what I see, why don't you get on up and dance to the blues with me? The blues with me. to get on up and dance to the blues.
Into the Blues with David Egan, with some help from Lil Buck, and as well as Roddy Romero and Caleb Elliott, all on that track. That's from David's brand new self-titled album. It's simply titled, of course, David Egan, and it hits on June 4th. Yeah, man, that song was something, man. Did you have to go through many takes on these songs? Were these like, was this an album of like, you know, take after take, or did you just guys slap it down and just do some embellishing afterwards?
Oh, really? And several of the songs are just live. That's the vocal. I mean, we couldn't do any punch-ins on the vocal because of the bleed and all that. That was like the tracking vocal to when we tracked it. Not on all of them, but on quite a few.
Yeah, and like you say, you come to that part, the little pause in the song, and everyone just fell into place, and, you know, it's like...
Yeah, we didn't say, you do this, you do that. We just said, everybody, stop right here. proof positive, you can't micromanage a bunch of musicians very much. Got to let it happen.
Well, I'll tell you what, this is one great record. Yeah, I imagine you're going to, as you said, you'll be taking this on the road for a while. And you've also got some dates with Little Band of Gold backing up Robert Plant in the future. You're going to be busy over the next few months.
Yeah, absolutely. And it has been busy. I've never been so busy in my life just getting this record together and, keeping some gigs happening and
still finding time to write for the paper. I've been enjoying your articles in the Independent. I mean, those recollections of you. I mean, you've got so many great stories. I mean, you need to do that as often as you possibly can.
Thank you. Yeah, I've kind of bowed out for a couple of months just because of this record and everything, and I think I'm going to have a review in this in the June issue, so I don't want to be all over that, you know.
But anyway, good job on that. I just wanted to tell you that.
Thank you.
Well, again, David's new album, self-titled, will be out very shortly on June 4th, and you can Google him, find out where you can find it. I'm sure if you go to a gig, there'll be some available there. And it's, again, on Rhonda Sue Records. Let's go out with one track we're talking about. I wanted to do one called Funky Dreams. Who's on this one?
Again, the airbending gifts of Little Buck Senegal doing the primary guitar parts. But then you've got guitar tracks by Joe McMahon, Buddy Flat, and Bruce McDonald. It's all a big old funky mess there.
Yeah. Well, let's go out on it. David, thanks so much for coming by, man. This is one great record. I know we're going to be spinning it, myself and just about all of the DJs here at KRVS. I mean, you know, all of your records stay in constant spin. So this
Thank
is
you,
another
Cecil.
One to the collection, you know.
It's a thrill, man. It really is. Thank you.
Thanks so much, man. Medicine Ball Caravan was produced live in Cypress Lake Studios here at KRVS, Lafayette Lake Charles. I'm Cecil Doyle. Have a great day. Come on back. We'll do it again tomorrow. We've got people from the New Moon Review here.
Tangled in barbed wire fence, a phone of people laughing out loud.